The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, this Final Four coming up in Minnesota, we've got all these different storylines for each one of the four teams, and they all are compelling in their own way. The big storyline, though, that covers all of them is that there's not one player on the team, on any team, that is the one-and-done type of superstar player that's heading into this Final Four. But nevertheless, whether it's Texas Tech and Auburn making their first Final Four appearances or Tom Izzo making his eighth with Michigan State, there are still a number of these good little nuggets of information from each team that I think I find compelling. For me, the whole concept of Auburn, right, being this team of rallying around a fallen player, a head coach who's finally got close enough to the top of the mountain on his journey from, you know, Southern Indiana in Division II to Milwaukee to Tennessee to Auburn, right, his trajectory. To Chris Beard at Texas Tech, who's got one of the better players that we're going to see in the Final Four in Jared Culver. But the team I think has the best storyline, the team that I think has the, it could play out really, really well, it could be a real, real arc, a completion, a full circle, is Virginia. Tony Bennett, who went from Washington State to the Cavaliers, who has this sort of defensive team, this basketball team that's got good players, but they're better defensively. And yet, coming off a loss last year to a 16 seed, and what they could do in this tournament, what they could do in this Final Four and then the championship game on Monday to sort of go full circle. I really do like that story. These, and we don't get them very often where you go from worst to first. And they didn't go from worst. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it felt like it in last year's tournament. There was no bigger loser in the NCAA tournament last year than Virginia, right? And they could come back and be the biggest winner of them all. I think that storyline to me, whether it's Izzo, I mean, Izzo's got a good team and he'd go into his eighth, and the two teams that have never been there before, my God, winning would be remarkable. But Tony Bennett and Virginia, what a turnaround from a year to coming off this year. I think it's an interesting dynamic.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, Final Four, Minneapolis, Saturday, Auburn, Virginia, Texas Tech, and then Michigan State. And I said earlier, I think that Virginia's got the best story potential of anyone. Look, Texas Tech winning first time, right? Auburn winning first time getting to the Final Four. Good storylines. I think Virginia, though, has the better one. I think Virginia is the better one when it comes to closing out, losing last year in the opening round to a 16 seed, to winning the national championship, if that were to play out. Tom Izzo is another interesting angle, though, and hear me out on this, because we were talking about this yesterday. Tom, there's a lot of you out there that don't pay attention to a lot of college basketball until we get to this time of year. And that's totally okay. I get it. It's probably got one of the weakest regular seasons in all of sports, right? It just, outside of just watching to watch because you like a matchup or you like a player, or it's just the game just seems intriguing in and of itself, there's not a lot at stake for the big time programs. Yeah, you can lose a game or two. You know, in the end, just get into the tournament and see where you are. But that being said, so a lot of people did not realize that Tom Izzo is that fiery of a coach until they saw what he did to Aaron Henry in this tournament. To many people, it was a wake-up call. And it did result in, I didn't think it was a big controversy. Now, some people said, oh, this was a huge, I don't think it didn't feel like it was huge. It felt like it came and went rather quickly. We didn't see people outside of sports really jumping in and commenting on it. I mean, we didn't see the news people, the political people jumping in and making their cases. Sometimes we've seen that in sports. Colin Kaepernick is a perfect example of that, where the political spectrum, the political commentators of our in our country jump into our sports world. It didn't really go that far, but it did bring up there was a conversation about whether or not in 2019, an older coach, an old school coach screaming with rage at a kid is in a day of, you know, no bullying and all of that is still appropriate. And then you saw a lot of people say, no, wait a minute. I had a coach like that when I was younger. You know, I knew that coach was pushing me to do something beyond what I even thought I could do. Right. And he had a lot of people supporting him for that. Like a lot of people said, listen, he didn't grab the kid. He didn't touch the kid, do anything. He just yelled at the kid, pointing his finger at the kid. But that's the way he is. And as we talked about this yesterday, the players give it back to him. They're a passionate group. But Izzo, if Izzo wins this, I mean, again, they haven't won since 2000. And he's gone to a number of Final Fours. This is his eighth Final Four. Like I said, there are years you barely remember Michigan being in it. They lost in the finals to North Carolina. They were in 2015 where Duke beat Wisconsin, I believe, for the national championship. So he's been to a number of Final Fours and came away with a title in 2000 with Mateen Cleaves beating the Florida Gators. But again, I go back to Virginia. This is not the most aesthetically pleasing basketball that you're going to see from Virginia. Very offensive minded. Got kids who can score. Don't get me wrong. Got kids who can score, but they like to grind you out. Here's an Auburn team, right, that I think would scare Tony Bennett. Because I think this Auburn team, in the way they choose to run their offense, which is a majority of the shots that we are going to take, are going to be from the three-point line. And so when you are trying to bog down a team defensively, if you're an Auburn team and you can hit your outside shots and you can hit the three, then you might have to force a different strategy from Virginia, that in a strategy they may not be comfortable in. And you might be able to win that. You might be able to win the game if you knock down your shots. There's that old saying, it's ridiculous cliche, live by the three, die by the three. And it's basic, but it's still very true. I mean, Auburn takes a lot of three-pointers. They take a lot of three-pointers. That's their only way to score, but they do take a lot. And they're riding a 12-game win streak, which is probably the more fascinating aspect of them coming into this tournament. They did not have an awesome year, all right? They did not have a year filled with, a blip every now and then. I mean, they were a top 25 team, and then they disappear, and then they would come back, and then they lost three in a row, and they lost a couple of more games. They struggled. They looked bad at times, and then found something after the Kentucky game, and haven't lost since, and riding a 12-game win streak. But in order for them to beat Virginia, they're going to have to limit turnovers. And they got to hit their outside shots. They're not going to play with Virginia if they're being sloppy with the basketball and they can't hit their three. Because they're not going to beat them straight up 2-on-2 and getting into the kind of game Virginia wants to get into. Texas Tech, I think Texas Tech has got a really good shot at beating Michigan. I think Texas Tech forces the teams that they play into a lot of mistakes. But Michigan State can beat you even if they do make mistakes. But again, the non-one-and-done factor of this, is it putting lipstick on a pig? I mean, to use that analogy, I mean, are we trying to find things in these games that are interesting as sellable aspects to the Final Four because there's an absence of the best college basketball player in the game in Zion Williamson? I mean, there was a poll that was done by The Athletic. Who's the best player in college basketball? Zion won by 58% of those who were voted. They asked basketball staffers, players, et cetera, of the athletes. Ja Morant was a runner-up, and Marcus Howard was a runner-up, but nobody was like Zion Williamson. Look, Bruce Pearl's got a fun basketball team that shoots threes, and Michigan State and Tom Izzo has got a great team that has overcome some injuries, and Texas Tech is in for the first time, and Jared Culver's a better player than you may know. And Virginia, is this again adding finding a diamond in the rough, if you will, given that Zion Williamson isn't in this thing?
I don't want to say yes, but I kind of feel that way.
Forcing these nuggets of goodness.
Yeah, that, you know, it's like it's over. They're overdoing it, overplaying their hand. Now trying to say, you guys pay attention to the NCAA. It's not over yet just because, you know, we put all our eggs in the Zion Williamson basket. The tournament is actually not over. So don't turn away just yet.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the feeling I'm getting. It's like, you know, just relax. We're going to watch. But
I mean, Texas Tech was a quietly good basketball team. Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespect to people in Lubbock, but I don't think the nation was paying attention to your team.
I don't
and
think
you were
you're
on top of the Big 12 all year.
I don't think you're disrespecting Lubbock because I don't even think Lubbock was planning on them being here.
I mean, really, I was serious. Like, Michigan State was, you know, Michigan State's Michigan State, right? Whether they finish first in the Big 10 or second or whatever. They're a tournament playing team. And Virginia played good enough all year to be considered one of the top teams in the country and a definite number one seed.
Yeah, and we
but
knew
Texas Tech was on top of the Big 12 with Kansas State all year, and I don't think anybody was paying attention to them.
I didn't even know that.
Exactly, right? And it's
my cousin plays for that team.
Yeah. And the same thing with Auburn. I mean, Auburn, and I go back, look, Auburn finished 11-7 in the SEC. That's not a good record. That's not a good conference record. That's enough losses in the SEC that if you are just paying attention to who's really good in college basketball, Auburn's under your radar. Auburn doesn't show up. They don't show up until they start making a move in the tournament, in the SEC tournament. That's what, I mean, there was a talk about them losing in the first round and being in real trouble, right?
Yeah, against
like
New
real
Mexico
trouble
State.
In making it, right?
The point I was going to make with Virginia is that we knew Virginia is good. We just needed them to get out of the first round.
Yeah.
And if once they got past the first round, I mean, there was that scare. There was the jitters that they had again from last year. Like,
oh, I know.
God, we cannot do this twice. twice the jitters. They're going to shut us down. But once they got out of that, they've been rolling. They've been playing really decent basketball.
They have.
And
they
so
have.
It's not really a surprise that they are there. But, I mean, yeah, for Texas Tech and Auburn, I mean, there's a reason why they're first-timers.
Yeah, there's no real tradition of basketball. I mean, Charles Barkley, is the biggest star Auburn has ever produced. And he was in 82, 83, 84, something
yeah.
around
and
that
Texas
time.
Tech has had no one.
Yeah, I've got to look up any sort of who went, you know, who played at Texas Tech NBA superstar.
Yeah, no, you're not going to find one.
I don't think you're going to find one. Right?
But they don't exist.
Again, right? We would have been all over Zion if he was in this thing. And we would be maybe Kentucky in the same boat, but Zion definitely.
Well, that's why you're starting to see all those memes popping up all over the place because everyone, you know, even the NCAA was guilty of it, throwing into the Zion Williamson basket. And, you know, it's like little different one. My favorite one so far has been when they're using the Joker from The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting there like, you know, oh, Virginia's in the Final Four in Texas, you know, but we can make allowances because that's March Madness. But Zion Williamson's out and everyone's losing their minds.
Losing their mind.
And that's, I mean, I feel like that's what it is.
I think so.
What are we going to watch? First of all, you know, you don't have Zion Williamson to kind of rally behind because we all know, you know, he's going to be a fantastic NBA player. I don't know if he's great, but he's going to be good. He's going to be decent. And second, there's really no team to hate.
There's no villain. That's another point I was going to make. There's no villain here. There's no team to root against. It's one thing to rally around a team to root for, which this doesn't have.
Right. I mean, the two teams that always come to my mind that, you know, people probably love to hate would be Duke and Kentucky.
Duke and Kentucky, exactly.
And neither of them are there.
And the other part is there's no Loyola Chicago or a Butler before Butler was Butler.
Right.
That just kind of makes us go, you know, I don't got a rooting interest in this. I don't like any of the teams. I don't root for any of the teams. But my God, that's a cute story. I might as well root for them. Loyola Chicago was that last year, right?
Yep.
I don't Michigan, Villanova, you're right. And all of a sudden you've got this Loyola Chicago team and you're like, you know what? Sister Jean, it's fun. Don't even know what conference they play in. Look at this small school. I'm rooting for them. Why not? And Butler was that before they became double presence Butler when Brad Stevens got him in back-to-back finals. But that first year with Gordon Hayward and Duke, where he almost beat him with that half-court heave back in, what, 2009 or 2010? It was 2010 with that half-court heave, almost beat Duke. That was another team we kind of went, oh, Butler, how cool is that? The team from Indianapolis. There is none of that here. This is four Power Five conferences. This is four representatives of the Power Five conferences.
That literally is probably the most balanced tournament we've had in recent memory.
Exactly.
We have one representing each conference. It's what we want.
Yep. Exactly.
And we're not satisfied.
So pick your conference, if you will. If that's it, but you're right. There is no villain here. There's no villain here, and there's no real underdog. Okay, every one of these teams has had a moment, especially Virginia, and for so much Michigan State has had their moment in the sun. Right, like I said earlier, Texas Tech is not a middle of the road Big 12 team that caught fire. They were on top of this conference all year, battling with Kansas State for the regular season title because Kansas wasn't going to win it. Auburn was a team that was in the top 25 at the beginning of the season, had their ups and downs, but still was a formidable opponent for anybody that played them, especially late in the season. These are not super surprises. Now, I think Auburn's run is unbelievable. I mean, to go through Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky in three straight games, I think you aren't going to find a better trip to the Final Four than that for Auburn. I mean, that's amazing that they ran through a number one, a number two, and a number four as a five seed. That's incredible. But there's no real underdog story to root for. I think if you want to root for a story that's probably most compelling, and I said this at the top of the hour, it would be Virginia putting the icing on a very, very badly baked cake last season, if you will. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, coming up in 10 minutes, Carolyn Darney is going to join us, SB Nation. Streaking the Lawn, she covers Virginia. Why is it called Streaking the Lawn? Am I missing something?
We got to ask her. I don't know.
I don't know much about the tradition of Virginia.
I mean, I'm certain every college campus has some form of streaking.
That's right.
What makes Virginia special?
Do they do that on a regular basis and it's become a tradition?
I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know like some campuses have the underwear run.
Yeah, right.
It just seems to be very popular. I'm wondering what streaking the lawn means.
Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I've always been a fan of SB Nation's titles for some of their college blogs, especially. Even so much the professional blogs, but they come up with some clever names. So it's always good traditions. I don't know much about. Here's the thing about Virginia. I've never been to Charlottesville. I've driven by Charlottesville, but I've never stopped to see. I hear it's a very, very beautiful campus, but I've never been there. So I don't know much about the other traditions of what Virginia, the Cavaliers, have.
Yep, never been.
So I don't know what that means, but
well, that's got to be question number one.
I will ask her why streaking, streaking the lawn. Why streaking the lawn? What? And I'll ask her about Tony Bennett and what was it like to
listen to him sing "I Left My Heart in San Francisco"?
Yeah, right. And he was at the New Year's, you know, the Macy's Day Parade float a couple years ago, yeah. Things like that. Yeah,
I'm wondering what Tony Bennett really felt like singing next to Christina Aguilera.
Exactly.
I mean, was he excited by it, or did he have to keep asking who was this again?
You're right. Who am I singing next to? Who else again? Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett was, I remember he was at Washington State. I was at it was like 2004 NCAA tournament in Denver. And I remember he was there. And I remember I said, this guy's going to go places. And I didn't know it was going to be Virginia, but I remember he was really good coach. But, you know, I heard Buzz Williams left Virginia Tech to go coach at Texas A&M. Now, he just had Texas Tech.
I don't know if it's official just yet.
Not yet. Okay. Now, okay. So this is a rumor, right?
Yeah. But I think it's like he's meeting with players, and I think the signing is supposed to be Friday.
See, not everybody can do what John Calipari does, right?
Get a lifetime contract?
Nobody. Here's the deal. Nobody said John Calipari was going to be the next UCLA coach. He never even talked to UCLA. The public perception that he could be the UCLA head coach was enough for Kentucky to panic and go, what's it going to take, John? How about a contract after you die? Will we just pay your family in perpetuity till forever? Like, that's all it takes for John Calipari. He doesn't even have to be connected. There was no serious person that thought he was going to be the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers a couple of years ago. There was all these rumors, but there was nothing connecting the two other than speculation. And he parlayed that into an extension. And that's usually how it works. But if Buzz Williams is looking to stay at Virginia Tech for more money, then he's got, you know, he's got Texas A&M. But if he leaves Virginia Tech for Texas A&M, that's a big coup for the conference. Buzz Williams is a really good coach. That's another coup for the SEC that did not get Kelvin Sampson, by the way.
Nope.
Did not land Kelvin Sampson. You know who else is up for the, guess who else is up for the Arkansas job now? Steve Alford.
Okay.
I thought he went to UCLA.
Wasn't he? I thought he was just a full-time analysis now.
I did
analysis
too.
Analysis man.
But he's up for the Arkansas job.
I can see that. That actually could be a good fit.
I think it would be a great fit. And then Eric Musselman, who's the head coach of Nevada. For a long time. Had Nevada almost all season in the top 10.
But see, he falls into that Mark Few category. I just don't see Musselman branching away.
Yeah, I don't either. Like he stays in Nevada.
Yeah, he's too close to the program. Like, I can't imagine Mark Few ever leaving Gonzaga.
Never. I can't imagine.
He's developed that program. When it's all said and done, I mean, if he was to finish his career, I mean, and that's someone who probably should have a lifetime contract.
Oh, no kidding.
But if he finishes his career there, I mean, that arena will be named after him.
Oh, that's what you want. Isn't that what you want as a coach, really? Like, you want to win national championships, but in the end, don't you want what Mike Krzyzewski has at Duke or Jim Boeheim has at Syracuse, if you can get that? Or Mark Few at Gonzaga. Don't you want the school where you are there while you're coaching? No, I think when you're, no doubt. But
that's got to be kind of weird, right? Just walking this is Coach K Dome.
Yeah. Like the job security you have when they name a court after you is pretty solid last time I checked, right? I don't think you have to do a lot of, you know, peer reviews when they name a court after you.
Well, I will say this, that my high school football field was renamed. It was named Bryce A. Scherer Field, but now like the whole the gym and the whole athletic area of my high school, which isn't that big. I mean, it's a public school in L.A. There wasn't a whole lot of money into it, so I mean it's relatively small. It's not like this athletic complex, but now it's called the Bryce A. Scherer Athletic Complex or something because there was a certain person who donated some money. And because he donated money for a new football field and put in that new turf, they decided to rename the field after him.
Oh.
And that was John Elway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good.
But
for,
I mean, I don't know if John needed to donate the money. I think he was just like, hey, you know what? This is probably our most famous athlete celebrity that came out of the school. It was bragging rights. So
right, yeah. Oh, nice. Very
so, I mean,
nice.
Yeah, they do rename. I mean, that's at a high school level. I imagine it's at a college level as well. I imagine it's got to be really hard to do. Like, I can't imagine Rupp Arena being anything else.
Right, right. Absolutely. But still, John Calipari, I love how he's worked. He's really worked it well.
Could they call it Rupp Calipari Arena?
Yeah, Rupp Calipari Arena, yeah.
Who gets top billing?
I think if they ever made a proposal for that, I think Calipari would so humbly play it off. He'd be like, I can't imagine renaming this after me. I mean, after little old me? Me? Me of all people? Me? Nah, Adolph Rupp. That's who you have to name it after.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, Virginia in the Final Four for the first time since 1984 as we break down a team a day. Carolyn Darney is joining us. SB Nation Streaking Lawn covers the Cavaliers. She's at the airport, which is awesome. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us from the airport, because when I'm at the airport, I'm grouchy and I don't want to do anything, and you're going to do an interview, so I appreciate the time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I apologize for the background noise, but I guess this is authentic as you can get as I'm traveling to Minneapolis for the Final Four, so here we go.
Ron and I were talking. Streaking the Lawn is the website that you cover the Cavaliers for. Why is it called Streaking the Lawn? Is there a tradition we're missing?
Yeah, so there's the center of grounds is what we call our campus. There's the rotunda that stretches one end and Cabell Hall, and it's a tiered lawn, and the tradition is before you graduate, you're supposed to streak it. So,
Oh, wow.
It's pretty straightforward, but it's also embarrassing to say at press conferences at this type of the time of the year. So, you know, it's great. Love it.
All right, let's talk about this Virginia team coming into this year. And there is two ways you can handle a serious adversity. You can ignore it or embrace it. Last year, losing to UMBC. When the guys who were on that team that came back next year, how did they handle that kind of embarrassing loss going into this season?
Yeah, honestly, the more I think about it, the more impressive it all was, because it's hard to do that thing, especially in like such a national stage. There's jokes all year long, and what they did that was so important, I think, was Coach, and this started with Coach Bennett, was they talked about it. They embraced it. They realized that people were going to talk about it. It's not going to go away. Like, you can't be like, hey, guys, stop mentioning that really huge loss. It makes us feel bad. So I think the team really leaned into it. They weren't afraid to answer questions about it. They weren't afraid to address it after games when, you know, they go on the road to Maryland and the Maryland fans are, you know, chanting UMBC as the seconds tick off the clock and Virginia wins. It also helps when you're really good again. Being able to make this the story is impressive, because, you know, one way to silence everybody is just to make the Final Four and maybe win a national championship.
And to stay on that, what was it like on campus for them? What did they go through? I mean, were people cruel about it? Were they embracing, saying, oh, you know what, it stinks, but we still have your back? Different fan bases have dealt with this kind of thing differently. How did Virginia fans deal with it?
Yeah, I think more the latter, more like we got your back. And just kind of, there's always been this sense of, like, of course it happens to us, this dread that goes with it. And it, a couple times, like, I think Virginia fans had this horrible fear that they were going to be the first one seed to lose to a 16. And so it was kind of more like, of course this happened. We all knew this was going to happen. From outside, like, the team got death threats, not from fans, obviously, because, you know, which is pathetic. I mean, I think it's a pretty easy stance to take. Like, if you're threatening someone's life because they lost a basketball game, you're a pretty terrible person. But, you know, the guys said they were embarrassed to be walking around, because they're very recognizable, obviously.
Sure.
But I don't think that there was anything, definitely not in Charlottesville itself, not on the on grounds or at school, And when they, first game at John Paul Jones this year, raucous applause. Like, they knew that DeAndre Hunter was out last season for that game, that they were getting this good, talented team back, and that this team had the potential to do this. So I think there wasn't ever a time where the fans really abandoned the team. So that's good.
All right, so let's go into this season. And listen, it's pretty much the same with any Tony Bennett year. Very, very good defensively. And I use this term kind of loosely. Is there an aesthetic beauty to the way Virginia plays defense?
I love it, honestly. People are like, you can't really like this. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly. I absolutely do.
There's something that, and I learned a lot about college basketball defense just from watching this Virginia team over the last 10 years now that Tony Bennett's been there. And, like, you appreciate the little things that they're doing and the adjustments that are made and the way that the individual one-on-one defenders play, but also how they fit into the grand scheme of things in the back line. And I love it. One of the things when people complain about Virginia's style or like how they're playing or boring or whatever, Virginia cuts out the bad stuff, the crud. Like, there aren't a lot of turnovers. They don't miss a lot of shots. They're very efficient. And that's what I love, is it's like people want to complain about being boring. I was like, yeah, but they just took out all the bad stuff. There's fewer missed shots, like that kind of thing. So this defense, like if you're in the arena and that shot clock gets below 10 seconds, it's the loudest you will hear that place. Mm. It's unbelievable.
So with that being said, what is their offensive identity? What will people who don't normally watch ACC basketball, in this case Virginia, what will they be seeing from a Cavaliers offensive side?
Yeah, and this is something that gets lost this year, is this Virginia team is number two on KenPom for adjusted efficiency on offense. Their offense is technically better than their defense this season, and that's because of guys like Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, and DeAndre Hunter, and as of late, Mamadi Diakite, which is the name people know if you watch that Purdue game,
right,
who hit the game tying shot. But they, similar to the defense where they work to make the other team work really hard to get a shot, Virginia works to find the best possible shot offensively. So they'll pass up a good shot if they think there's a great shot. It's the extra pass. It's swinging it one more. It's, using screens and continuous ball movement to get a guy open for an easy layup or a dunk or a good look from outside. So they can shoot from outside. They're, I think, over about 38% on the season, with got all three of the big three, the trio, DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome, and Kyle Guy, all shooting over 40% from three. So those guys get going. It's a world of hurt. And then you throw in Diakite and guys like Braxton Key or Jay Huff even off the bench, who's a 7-1 guy that can stretch you out, make a three, but also take off from the free throw line for a dunk.
So in this matchup against Auburn, and the way Auburn can shoot the three, is what is the perimeter defense like for the Cavaliers? Because this is all Auburn does. I mean, the majority of their shots are from behind the arc.
Yeah, so this will be a really interesting matchup, and I think a lot of people, when they saw how it shook out, made a note to look at this game, because the way to beat the pack line is to shoot over it. The pack line doesn't let people drive the lane, but it also relies more that teams will succeed against the pack line if they can drive and kick, whereas Auburn is more of a just three-point shooting team. They take almost 50% of their shots from outside, and they're not all created by driving and kicking. So it'll be really interesting to see. There's a bunch of really, really good individual defenders. DeAndre Hunter, Kihei Clark, who's a 5'9 first-year guard, the one who threw the pass to Mamadi Diakite. He's a great defender, and he's going to be on a guy like Jared Harper, 5'11, and make his life miserable. Where I think that Virginia has the advantage in this one, it's without Chuma Okeke for Auburn, who was caught from outside. They have fewer options inside as a team, and therefore, if things aren't going from outside, they can't really get much going inside. Kentucky did a really good job, I think, of trying to run Auburn off the three-point line, with Auburn only going like 30% from the field in that game. But the guards is what really caused the problem for Kentucky. Jared Harper and Bryce Brown driving the lane, and Kentucky was unable to control what the guards were doing, and they got cut up in the lane.
I want to talk about Tony Bennett. I really like him. I was in Denver for a number of years, and I remember seeing him at Washington State, and I thought this was a really good up-and-coming coach, and I've obviously, we see what he does at Virginia. But what's the biggest thing he's brought to this Cavalier program?
He's brought consistency and I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, because he's been here 10 years now, just over 10 years. And I remember the days back from my undergrad where, you know, I'm looking at watching games coached by Pete Gillen and Dave Lado, and, you know, not to knock them, but the success wasn't there. Coach Bennett has brought in players that might not be the most, you know, not the Zion Williamsons of the world, not the fanciest, but you've got guys like Joe Harris, who's killing it with the Nets right now. Malcolm Brogdon, obviously with the Bucks. Players that have been successful, and he brings in consistent, high-caliber, high-quality players, and you know exactly what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a hard-nosed defense, you're going to get an efficient offense, and you're going to get a bunch of guys that work really, really hard to represent the school, and I think that's the biggest thing. That he's beloved in Charlottesville. There's no louder cheer than when he walks into the arena for a game.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. Have a safe flight. And
absolutely.
But love it. Hope we catch up with you someday soon. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. You guys have a good one.
You too. Caroline Darney streaking the lawn, and now we know why. It wasn't some metaphor, Ron. They streak the lawn. I thought it was going to be like, oh, no, no. You'd think it would be us taking off our clothes and running across the field, but actually it's not. It really means this. It means achieving your highest level of intellectual ability through some sort of metaphysical meditation. But no, it's actually removing your clothing and running across the grass.
Just before you graduate. If I am to go visit the campus, I've got to, you know, schedule my dates accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be wild, I would think, right?
I just be a creepy old guy sitting on the park bench.
Yeah, like, oh. Are they really streaking, or are they just running in their underwear? They're not really naked, are they?
You can only hope so.
What is this, an 80s teenage movie, college movie? What is this, Porky's the Revenge? My God, that's awesome. Streaking the lawn, they actually do that. God, I really thought that was a metaphor. I thought it would be like, oh, no, there was a coach one day who made his team streak across the lawn because they had an embarrassing loss. And that is the tradition of Virginia basketball. Whenever they lose, because by losing to UMBC, they should just go to classes naked if that was the case. But you know what I mean? Like there would be just this old-time story. But no, they streak across the lawn. Good basketball team. It's going to be interesting. She's right on the money about Auburn. Like, the best way to beat this defense, you got to shoot over it. And if Auburn doesn't shoot over it, it's lights out for the Tigers, man. It really is. And so when we get our Auburn guy on later this week, we got to point blank ask him, if you're not hitting the threes, when can I leave and go on to watch something else until the Texas Tech Michigan State game?
Okay, I decided to do a quick Google search.
Yes, okay.
Right, and there is a person who is, I'm looking at somebody, they're streaking.
Naked.
I mean, this one is three guys doing it in a snowstorm. I mean, obviously they're wearing shoes and they're just idiotic.
You know, shame on them for not graduating when it's warm, okay? Shame on them
Some people graduate at the end of a fall semester.
All right,
and then
shame on them. They needed to graduate with everybody else in the spring, in the early
what if they
summer,
were, what if they
so
were
it was
early?
Warm enough not to run naked through the snow. God.
What if they were just early?
That's true. The good news is graduating early. The bad news is streak across the snow.
Can you explain this one to me? Because I'm not, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not up on my Virginia Cavalier-ness here, but
yeah.
What's a who?
I don't know.
Maybe you noticed that too?
Yeah, can we look that up? Is there a Google search? What? Yeah, well, I'll look it up. And don't say who, like from Dr. Seuss, because we know those people. They still have Christmas spirit without all the goods. So
because a lot of times it has to deal with the mascot, but it's a cavalier. It's a three musketeer looking thing.
How do you spell it? H-O-O?
H-O-O.
Okay, don't do H-O because that'll give you a whole other definition.
That's a great Google search. Are you kidding me? That can get you on a YouTube wormhole.
Yeah. All right. So I'm doing. Yeah. No kidding. What's a who, Virginia? What's a who? What are we doing? No. I don't want what's a who. I want what's a who, Virginia. I don't want what's a never mind.
Oh, there. Man, make sure you have the O and you spell Virginia correctly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I'm not getting anything.
Like, look what we're uncovering here.
Hold on. Wahoos, shortened as Hoos, is the unofficial nickname of sports teams of the University of Virginia Cavaliers. Nickname for Wahoos, or shortened for to Hoos, or Woos. I guess it's Woos. While there's no existing evidence that the nickname stems from the Wahoo fish, why would you put that in there? It often is claimed by students that a Wahoo is a type of bass fish that is capable of drinking twice its weight. Okay. So the Wahoo fish, it can drink twice its weight. So apparently this nickname was adopted by the school.
I'm calling fake news. Look at us.
We're a bunch of fake news. We can drink.
How do fish drink?
I don't know.
See, you know what? Fake news.
Yeah.
Somebody's making that up. A fish can't drink.
The Wahoo Wah yell is I don't care.
Yeah.
Stupid
people.
I don't want to go back to 1890.
But if we're in Virginia, we got to go streaking.
Apparently so.
And we'll do it in the summertime.
We'll do it in the summertime. I ain't running in the cold.
Right. No George Costanzas for us.
Yeah, that's right. Good stuff from Carolyn Darney. Again, streaking the lawn. Virginia, if you want to cover more of the Cavaliers, visit that site from SB Nation. It's SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, Michael in Atlanta, you did it again on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. He says, on Monday, you talked about the most impressive path to the championship. Auburn is good. But the 97 Arizona team beat number one seed Kansas, number one seed UNC, and number one seed Kentucky to win the national championship, the only team to ever beat three number one seeds. That's a good point. And they were a four seed in that tournament. So Auburn is a five seed.
Not Lute Olsen.
Very good runs. That was Lute Olsen. That was Miles Simon. And a couple of other good players on that Arizona team. That was a really Kentucky was at its, like, Rick Pitino greatness. They had just won the national championship. They were really good leading, coming into the next year. Arizona winning the national title and just spoiling the back-to-back Cats. Kentucky would win it again in 98. They beat Utah, and they missed out on a three-peat because of Arizona.